Hey all. So as the subject say, is about analyzing the Facebook algorithm because it has a different set of impact in our perception of the reality. The project which I want to present is Facebook Tracking Exposed. Exposed is a true top-level domain, so don't expect a .com, .org. It's .exposed, enter. The slides are available in GitHub. Just imagine that if we used to say that we are what we eat. Somehow our diet influences. Sorry, I have to say, I'm not a native English speaker. So you can maybe have a hard time sometimes to get my accent. In this case, don't feel shy. You can also ask to repeat, and I will just repeat what I said. In the information age, maybe we are what we know, what we are exposed at. The information that we are seeing are the one that influence us. So this is an abstract way of saying, you know, in the physical diet, you get teach that exists a way to organize what you eat. And in order to have a healthy life, you need to have a complete diet. But we have not the equivalent metaphor in the information one. What if the social media is only feeding us with candies, with sugar and with fat, just because they are good and we want them? Now, somehow, we had some, not yet evidence, but some trace, some indication of the social media behaving to please us instead of giving to us a complete information diet. We are addressing Facebook just because it's the biggest actor in the field, but every platform who uses algorithms to organize your informative experience can be targeted. So we can just use Facebook as a reference model, as the platform in which if we can change a little bit the imaginary or the expectation or the responsibility they feel, we can score a point. But if we feel to apply the same kind of reasoning to other platform, it is perfect. There are these three cases I want to mention briefly. They are evidence on how the algorithm is a terrain of conflict. In the top left, you see the famous or infamous Facebook experiment about emotional contagion. So Facebook pick more than 600,000 users as rats lab, as experiments, and to half of them show content that were positive, based on a sentiment analysis, and to the other half, negative. Those content were selecting among the posts they are subscribed, so from their own friends or from their own page. And just playing with the prioritization of what show up in the newsfeed, they measure that the group more exposed to happy posts were coming back to the social network more frequently, were engaging more. Instead, the one exposed to the dark side of the reality, they were also coming back less to the social network. And this starts to make you think that maybe the newsfeed can be used to stimulate some behavior to you. We know that this is actually claim by Facebook itself, because in January, with the Bring the World Close Together, has been stated that Facebook want to trim their own algorithm in order to make the communication more meaningful. But who decide what is meaningful? An algorithm or me? We have other two examples. On the right, Karen Vino. She was saying that was in touch with a person. This person went to the hospital, right to a public post. I'm in the hospital. I will get through a surgery. Nobody of his friends saw this message after this person died. And nobody that was close to him never got aware of it. That is a truly personal side effect of this prioritization. But it's also an anecdotal effect. Also, the history explained by Zenif Tufekci about how Ferguson hashtag or Ferguson topics were appearing to people of Ferguson, but not outside, is another kind of anecdotal analysis. And is what we are doing somehow. We are checking in our newsfeed, spotting that something is strange, thinking if this is okay or not, and then talking about. But in order to do a more scientific approach, it's better to collect evidence. So we developed a browser extension near 2 years ago that when you install, it just make the bar of Facebook with a different color to remind you that it's installed. Then you had on top of every post a couple of links, a badge saying if the post has been collected or not, and a link to your data, the data that has been collected for you. Only the public posts are considered. You have a couple of opt-in. When you opt-in in this experiment, you join the project. Which posts are collected? Only the public post, so the one shared with the word icon. If something is shared for friends, that is not considered because it will be a violation of their of their trust. Also the custom audience, so when you see the cog symbol, is something that is not considered at the moment. Then we can the browser extension just look if the post is public or friends only. But we also released as open data some data collected, and I'm going to talk about this data more. We only released data that were belonging to public figure, media, high visibility page, because if an individual do a selfie and publish it as a public post, this is something you record for your own, but it's not something that has a value for a scientific purpose. Evidence collected are both the post that populate your newsfeed and the advertising. With the green tone, you have the newsfeed, and with the red tone, the advertising is among the 10% to 15%. So advertising is the minority. Advertising is also what has got on the hype for the famous Russian influence, but the most of the influence on your own came from the newsfeed. That's populated the majority of your information exposure. Then what? We collect the data, but then how you can really understand the algorithm. The point is that the algorithm is invisible as an agenda, is personal. So if you cannot even compare clearly what you are getting because it depends from too many things. This is the first idea we had in mind is we just look at the keywords and we look at the most frequent keywords, but that's is not something useful. Also because we realize it's quite difficult to compare two random user. We have too many variables, namely the newsfeed. We can say that is the product of four different variables. The user profile, so which are the friends of this user, what this user has liked, the demographic, where it's connected from. The newsfeed algorithm, so the secret we want to just understand. What the user follow. Because if someone is following 20 or 2,000 page, it's clearly exposed to a different amount of information. And how many posts they get. Because if you keep accessing to Facebook, you will be exposed to more information. So those variables make the comparison among users difficult. But this is a sort of black box testing. So we reduce the variable in order to try to isolate the behavior of the algorithm. To do that, we pick a use case, a story, a subject of the investigation. In this case, it was the Italian election, because most of the team that was running the test was from Italy. No, all the team was Italian. But the algorithm has influence all around the world, in every day, about every context. So this is just for storytelling purpose, and also to delimitate our research. To begin, we pick 30 pages that were belonging to all the political spectrum that we're going to run for the electoral campaign. Then we create 6 users. We have the name, and those 6 users were all following the same 30 pages in order to uniform the variables. Then we start to like polarize or make believe to Facebook that they have a certain kind of political orientation. Basically, every user had associated a political party. Antonietta, for example, was making like to the content from the left, and Britta to the content of the Five Star Movement, Michele for the far right. The 30 pages were split in five groups, six pages for every political orientation, so they were equally distributed among the political spectrum. The goal in this creation of fake persona is not to emulate what an Italian voter actually is. Nobody is so extreme. Was just enough to see with a few likes of difference how much the algorithm will distort and differentiate their perception, their collection of the reality. Oliviero was a sort of user that was the undecided, was making a zero like, was just following. Then we had the browser extension installed, and the browser extension was collecting what was appearing in the newsfeed. And then with auto-scrollers technology, we had that every hour the user were accessing, at the same moment, scrolling automatically, collect a number of evidence, and then interrupt the scrolling. After 1 hour, access again, scroll again, in order to uniform their collection. In this moment, as you see, the only variable is what the algorithm will serve to the different profile. In this graph that is made with the Tableau, you see the number of evidence collected in every access in the 25th of January. And then we can start to run comparison, because only comparing two or more profile, you can see how much the algorithm is making the experience personalized. Here you see the day between the 8th and the 14th of February. The line, they have written photo, post, and video, because one of the way to do run comparison was at least to check if the media type was the same. And you see that for Andrea, that was the person, the avatar persona making like to the right, was getting 74% of post. Antonietta was getting the 64. So the bar are proportional to avoid to read the numbers. But what is interesting, that for what extent to Andrea and Antonietta, Britta, you see a pattern where the majority is made by post, text, information, something that is written. Instead, in Michele, the far right, you get the majority of picture. That can be fun to say, haha, the fascist can only look picture. But but actually is not fun, because that is how the filter bubble and the polarization works, apparently. And it was not just happening to this profile. also, in Oliviero, you see that the undecided was getting more video than the others. The size of the bar is proportional to the evidence collected. And we just separated by the post kind. But the filter bubble, you know, the filter bubble is a concept that has been explained by Eli Paris in 2011, and it was looking as a very binary concept. If you put some likes to the Republican, you will never understand the other version of the agenda, the other debate, the other perception of the reality. It's not so simple, because it's not so binary, especially. And also because, well, I don't want to talk about filter bubble too much. But what we see here, we see the division, not anymore made by the kind of post, but from the orientation of the publisher. We say that the 30 pages were separated by a group of six and six, so five group of six. And you see, for example, in Andrea, right, it was putting likes to the right as the color green. And in this case, the concept of the filter bubble is validated. You put like to this content and you get this content a lot more than the others. And that is a bit consistent during the days. I report here only 3 days because otherwise the graph was unreadable. But the data are open, so if you want to run your own analysis, it's possible. In Antonietta, you see that despite it's the left and was putting like to the red, the green somehow appear more. Who knows why? Britta, Movement 5 Star, get a little more on the yellow, is the one in which she was clicking. But as you see, the dimension of the bar, the size of these bars, is quite different. In this case, the bar are proportional to the number of unique posts. This means that if you get a long bar, you get a lot of unique posts. If you get small bar, the posts were repeated more often. So the post was not unique. And this creates another matrix. Because this test, the main goal of this test was exactly developing some metric to understand and judge the algorithm. Otherwise, it's only a comparison between what? Posts that appear, or if a keyword appear or not. Instead, with this metric, we are start to understanding how we can apply maybe the same test to true user, so to me and who of you want to join. So the unique post is another kind of way to maybe judge how fair is the algorithm. Now, observed 1, 2, 3, those are the number of time for which a post get observed. If you see Andrea get 2,922 unique post observed once, and only 1,080 observed twice. This means that 33% of these posts, they were showing up in another time. We were making the access every once per hour. So one third of this new timeline was populated by content already so. A third of this group were selected to appear 3 times. And that's, I don't know, it's something I can accept. Some content appear again because they maybe are trending, are more important. How you can justify for Michele the far right? In this case, the posts were most of the time a repetition of what was already appears. So you just get a less exposure to information. You get all the same repeated over and over. To the other users, the pattern are in the middle. We can say that Andrea is the one with the most diverse information set. Michele, far right, the least diverse, and the other in the middle. That's as a kind of a specific impact that I want to zoom in an event. Happened that in January, a criminal attacks some migrants because of political justification. And this person went to shoot migrants in Macerata, that is a town in the middle of Italy. Macerata is a keyword that does not appear very often on the media. So that can be used as a trigger to see how much frequently the discussion about Macerata attacks were appearing on those users' timeline. And then imagine that, how the methodology behind this. We took all the link that has been that they surface on the post of the profile. We made a semantic analysis on all the links. We select only the post that were mentioning Macerata. And then we made a Venn diagram between the profiles. Here you see Michele, the far right, Santiago, the center left, and Antonietta, the left. As a Venn diagram works, you see that only the part in the middle is the one that was in common between the three users. And this was only one article talking about the Macerata attacks. The majority of the content unique were surfacing for the user of the center left. And then a small group was in common between the center left and the left. If we want to order on how the user get informed about the Macerata attack, you see the center left, then the left, and then the far right. But that is is the scary part. Like, this is how the filter bubble looks like. People that in theory are exposed to the same information, access with the same pattern, there are just a few likes of difference. About a national issue, you just get one article when the other keep getting informed. We made, in the last December, a test with the World Web Foundation. It was a test made in Argentina. It was innovative because we compared, so we ran six avatar persona, like in the Italian election, to test how Argentinian user get influenced by the algorithm. But we were also collecting with the Facebook API the 100% of the post produced by the source we were following. This means that with the Facebook API, we were able to get 9,000 posts. This whole area is proportional to the 9,000. And this part, the portion colored, are the posts that are actually surfaced to our six users. Those users were accessing multiple times per day and do auto-scrolling the same too. So you see that the majority of the content that the user subscribed for never show up to them. And Facebook still prefer to show up your content more than once, because, I don't know. What about fair competition? If you're using Facebook because your business depends on visibility, you want to understand how the algorithm is treating you, because if your post keep not getting surface, that is a problem. The European Commission made a similar test last year. They made a lot of research on Google search engine in order to check if the Google product were treated equally than other products. We applied the same concept, so to some media. With the API, we collected during the Italian election the 100% of the post published. And then here you see that we selected only three media, the three mainstream media under analysis. The green one is the one aligned with the right, Il Giornale. The yellow aligned with Movement 5 Star. And the blue, the center left. So this is proportional to how much the media produces the content. Simply, the media on the green media produced much more than the blue. I don't know, they have more people writing posts. We can assume that if there is a fair competition, our users get the same percentage. But that's worse. So happened that the user here on the left is the one that was putting like to the Movement 5 Star content, to the yellow content. And it's the only case in which this, the media in the middle, get treated well. And that is confirmed the expectation of the filter bubble. You put like, you get this content. The user right, the Andrea, is the one that was putting like to the green one. And again, the filter bubble is respected. We cannot explain how and why was also appearing to the Movement 5 Star user the same amount of posts from the right. The blue one is the media that produced less and still get treated better than the others, as get treated, we can say, fairly. So this discrimination is something that has an impact on the business of those organizations who rely on Facebook to get visibility, and has impact on us. Time to wrap up. So the goal, the ultimate goal of the Tracking Exposed project is to push for what we call the algorithm diversity. So the concept is that we cannot expect that Facebook will guess what we need. That is a blind utopian lie, because only you know what you need. You change during your time of the day, your interest, your dedication, if you want just to chill out and get entertained, or if you want to do research. If you are on the public transportation where you are going to the job or in vacation, you have different needs. only you can know it. And the hope is that we can, with the data collected in this way, also permit to the user to experiment to run their own algorithm and see how if they can get a better experience. That's in theory can disseminate the idea that you deserve the right to run your own algorithm. An algorithm implement a prioritization, and only you can have this priority in mind. What is the strategy? We want to address misinformation because it's the huge topic. It's clear that misinformation is a political problem, so cannot be solved by a technology. That's why instead of looking to find the algorithm that spot the fake news or the algorithm that make you escape from the filter bubble, we want to just enable more informed debate. So one of the interfaces that is designed will permit you to pick a topic and put in a comparison with a friend of yours how you differently perceive that topic. So maybe you realize that you are like Michele in this case, quite ignorant about a subject, and instead of having your opinion, you will understand that maybe you have to explore what you miss. We have to use different metrics in the social media. Social media have metrics that are quite business-driven, like the number of followers, the number of likes, how much engagement, how much impression you got. Instead, the values that we have to use as reference are more on how much diverse is this content from your typical information diet. So how much is difficult maybe to understand this subject, how much you have to learn more in order to put it in context. And then if we can implement those kind of personalized algorithm that are that represent values and culture different, distant from the typical Paolo Alto stereotype, we can actually show that diversity is an asset and only you can implement your own algorithm and maybe empower more the user, keeping at the border of the network the intelligence, and ask to a platform to be more ignorant, more more neutral on the content. You find at the end of the slide a lot of reference. There are some publication that has been made by me and some researcher at the University of Rio de Janeiro on this data. There is a political analysis made by me and a journalist, Fabio Chiusi, and there is the links of the Web Foundation. Just to give you an example of how it looks like, when you collect the data, you have the access to this page that shows to you which are the data collected so far. The data get processed in, I don't know, 40 seconds. So if you access after you just collected, you see that the data are not yet processed. You can recall the data you observed. In this moment, we have just a couple of generalistic statistics, like which are the source like that appear more often. In this case, is Hacker News 60 times, then Medium 50 times. Oops. Or here you have the post who has been repeated more time. In this case, a post appeared 6 times, post appeared 5 times, and every time you click on it, you can recall it. Well, this is just evidence. Ah, urine, not chlorine, cause red eyes. Fun facts. you know, when you develop this tool, you keep getting distracted. Because probably the only self-defense mechanism is a new add-on that will hide the post, so I cannot read the bullshit that I keep collecting. Anyway, you can download your own data as a CSV if you want to run some statistics, and if you want to manage a comparative research, there is an API. So in this is the browser extension. You can specify to belong to a specific group, in this case, a group with a random name. And then with an API, you can download all the data that belongs to this group. So if you have a group, let's say, of 6 people who want to analyze the midterm election, and they force themselves to follow the same pages, and they have their own profile because they are different users. Then you can download your data and do analysis and maybe publish some research or understand a little more on how the Facebook algorithm has an influence in our life. This is an example of what is collected and the metadata extracted, because we collected the HTML snippet and then a set of metadata extracted, a set of parsers extract the metadata and attribute this metadata to the post. And that's the data that can be used to run analysis and statistics. So that's all. I would love to have questions, because there are many things I just avoid to talk about, like the data collected are not accessed to profile the user. The data collected are accessed by the user itself, but we can also elaborate method to do in the public interest analysis of this data set. But what is the public interest? The theory is that we should only investigate in phenomena and not in people. But this requires some kind of privacy assessment, because it's quite a slippery terrain, run MapReduce on a database and create results, no? So that's why we're looking for a privacy and security analyst who can support the project. Fundraiser, because in this moment we have an issue in sustainability. Journalist, because understanding and see what is seen by other people's filter bubble can maybe give you more insight on what is happening on a specific phenomena. Advocate, because explain that the algorithm has an impact is a difficult task in communication. It's a very abstract concept that has to be tangible for people. Showing something like the Venn diagram is tangible, but explaining and iterate with the people is better. Data analyst, because we are releasing data, but the analysis that can be done are many, and the algorithm, who knows how many variables have behind. UX, because as you saw, the interface are like a junior web developer of mid 2000 use jQuery, and that is me, because I'm a backend developer and a security analyst, but I have to do some UX sometime. That's all. Please.
Thank you. I want to congratulate you first on a very well-crafted study. There's plenty of really bad studies going on about algorithms out there, but I thought you did a really good job of isolating the variables, so well done. I have a couple of teeny questions. One of them is, are there other languages? Clearly you've got English. Do you have other languages in which this is available?
There is not a language issue, in the sense that when you collect every kind, when you collect an HTML snippet, then the parser look on a specific CSS selector, and what is present is taken. About the language supported, at the moment we have only Spanish, Portuguese, and English in the web extension.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was wondering about the UI of the various things.
That is only English, sadly. But I'm completely open to...
To help, I can see from many, many folks. I also wanted to ask a little bit more about the M5 group. I think a lot of folks in the room maybe don't know as much about the... One of the political groups, Five Star.
Yes, the movement Five Star.
Yeah,
yes.
What is their leaning? What kind of stuff are they up to?
I suggest that you can check this publication from me and Fabio Chiusi, because published by Tactical Tech. It explains exactly the political campaign and the usage of internet in Italy, and explain the background of the movement Five Star that has been created by a comedian and with a blog, has finally made the narrative. Just don't be subject to the television, because the television was the big field between Berlusconi and the opposition. So explaining the movement Festara requires a chapter on its own.
Gotcha. Okay, that sounds fascinating.
And now they're in the government.
Yeah, wow. Interesting. The other thing I was going to ask was actually about Tactical Tech. I saw their name flash by. I don't know if people know them. They're an absolutely fantastic activist training movement. I'm wondering if you've been working with them and what kind of stuff you've been doing.
I worked with them 4 years ago, but this project has been created independently. Because they are running a program of analyzing how data get used during election. Me and Fabio Chiusi collaborate to write a specific report. But for example, they also publish a report about how WhatsApp is used in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking us through all that. So one of the important data points in this, obviously, is the affiliation of the articles themselves, right? If they're far right-leaning, they're center, whatever. Do you have an automated system for determining that? And could that be a potential source of bias in your data set from the get-go?
That can be indeed a bias. More you can go deeper in attributing metadata, you will get a different insight. I assume that the Facebook algorithm is looking very carefully every kind of word and keyword and elements in every picture before decide and rank your post. We will never understand the full complexity behind the Facebook algorithm. But the goal here was to show how much a few likes can create a distortion. Oh. So I didn't went more further than do a semantic analysis. We can try to put in a different perspective the data, maybe other kind of pattern we surface.
So if I understood you correctly, those labels are coming from Facebook itself? You guys aren't generating those?
No, we were not generating it. We were just following passively, and we were doing no active, nothing active beside putting some likes.
Right, okay, yeah. Because that kind of thing, as I understand, is a pretty complicated problem, like from an NLP perspective or even from any other association to try to actually get appropriate labels on.
Totally. And also are completely subjective. That's why reversing them is not in our interest. We will always fail. But in the moment you show how unfair it is, that's our goal.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your talk. It was great.
Thanks to all the person of the project. They are following in streaming. And without their help, I will never make these things alone.
I wanted to ask, how was the automated entry of the likes done? Was it done on a desktop or mobile or other? And do you have any plans in the future to look at? Facebook knows the mobile and the mobile carrier, and the mobile carrier may have leanings. Like, have you thought about looking at how that the likes were done? And is there any difference in what's seen because of that?
In this moment, we are only supported in Chrome and the Firefox browser. So the mobile app is not look at it. I don't know if your question is about our ability to collect the evidence, or.
Sorry, it was, did you use mobile at all? And I got that answer, so that's good. And the other was, in your future, were you looking at maybe running the same experiment with mobile versus desktop because of the carrier can be known by the algorithm?
Completely. I think that the fact that you are connected through mobile app will already trigger some different pattern in the algorithm. And I'm aware that the mobile access to Facebook are the majority. But in this is harder to collect the data from the app. In this moment, we are doing a research about it. But if someone of you is an expert Android developer, please.
All right. So we talked yesterday. We both share that distaste for Facebook.
Matilda.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted
distaste.
To
politically correctness. We are on streaming. Just a critical eye.
I'm wearing my colors. But yeah, I wanted to get into what personal algorithms would be. What would they look like? How would they be made? In your view, or where you think that kind of thinking about that should go?
To be honest, the thought on personal algorithm is more abstract. Is the algorithm represent the priority? Mm-hmm. Only you have the right to define your own. Mm-hmm. Then how it will looks like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We have to experiment on it. It may look like if the content came from a specific group of people, that will show up for sure. And that will permit you to give the appropriate priority. Or maybe you can also add additional metadata, such as how many content you produce per day that have a true value? Mm-hmm. Tell me one number. Mm-hmm. How many content you produce per day?
Often zero.
Zero, okay, good. No, I respect it. And sometimes you produce a content of value. You want to be sure that the person that trust you, are near you, see this content. So value is a sort of, in this case, self-attributed metadata. A Boolean that you can expand to say, I'm marking this Boolean flag to say is important. And that can permit to a group of person, at least to a group of friends, to be sure that if someone has something important to say, this will not be missed. That will more listen to the sociality of this network instead of just try to imagine what you matter, what you care more about. So imagine if you can add additional metadata about the quality, mm-hmm. and then you can have an algorithm and say, if something came from one of my friends and asked quality, not only show up, but also ring a notification, mm-hmm. because that's deserved to disturb me. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can imagine that the algorithm you want to use to explore a specific subject will not keep in account your previous behavior, but will just address this keyword or this term in a more neutral way. And everything that talks your language and is addressing this keyword can show up to your temporary newsfeed. Only instead if you're doing entertainment before go to sleep, you will just see the selfie of your friends. I don't know. We can imagine and speculate. I'm sure that Facebook engineering are breaking their heads in order to find the algorithm, but that is a power, and why should not be in our hands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked because when software design is a top-down profession, even when people have good intentions, as many people at Facebook do, you can get into areas where they end up hurting people. And that's what we want to avoid. I think that we would agree on that.
Yeah, no, thank you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, algorithm is a sort of a new terrain of conflict. It's up to who acknowledge and who see what is already invisible that start to hack on it and show a different imaginary. Sometimes I don't think that is realistic asking that everybody should be a programmer creating their own algorithm, but if we can seed this concept, Facebook probably will have to keep it in account in the long term, or maybe the next platform will provide this feature as a key selling point.
Mm-hmm.
There are still other 7 minutes?
We'll talk more.
Oh, thank you.
Hi. Have you thought about bringing some of this analysis to other platforms like Twitter or Reddit? Because, like, especially like with Twitter in particular, they're also pretty opaque with how their feed works.
Yes, but in this moment, the project is going to close if I don't find sustainability. And Facebook was the important use case in order to understand also how we can treat the data in the fairest way. Mm-hmm. When this is stable, we'll be safer to cover other platform. I guess YouTube for the Play Next, or Twitter, or also VKontakte. I mean, other kind of social network use algorithm, also if they are more intended for other kind of foreign audience. That can be the way. If you see in the repository, in the GitHub, tracking exposed is a domain name that is quite flexible, because you can have Facebook tracking exposed, Google tracking exposed, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. My other question was, what are ways that we can try to fight back against these kinds of opaque algorithms, or like how do we try to pop these kinds of filter bubbles?
Filter bubble is it's not something that we can really pop. I mean, it's something that make a good headline. But if you think to, at least if I think to myself, I cultivated my filter bubble with 38 years of effort. And I'm proud of it. Finally, I know what to trust. So filter bubble is also a psychological effect. You tend to read and stay with what you can understand, what you can relate. Thinking that you can just escape your filter bubble, or having a software telling you what you need to read, for me, is quite a solutionist idea. What I see about is that you can understand that your understanding of the reality is a small chunk on a huge world, and then you can act accordingly. One of the theories also, instead of having a smart tool that keep a complex state about you for dumb people, you should have a dumb tool for smart people, something that permit you to query a complex data set and move you among those results given to you the agenda.
Thank you.
How we can respond? The point is, in this moment, the assets is the social graph. So people keep staying on the monopolist because they find all their own connection. News of today is that Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Microsoft joined together for this project named Data Transfer Project. And this is about how you can move data that you send to one of this platform to another one. In short, the use case is when you upload a photo, instead of uploading twice in another platform, you will just make the communication happen to the backend. This looks like the implementation of the data portability concept requested by the GDPR. But this is not yet the interoperability. In my hope, or the hopes that we also define the manifesto, is that we should have a more federated structure of social networks that can permit you to interoperate. And the politics of a provider are the one you feel to endorse, or maybe you pay that provider because treat your data safely, or give to you metadata that you need. This will never happen until the social media interoperate. This is a step, but it's not yet the solution. In the moment, with Facebook tracking exposed, we are getting our own data back. We can try to apply our own policy, our own logics, and maybe also try to do more interoperation and interoperability, and just start to seed that this possibility can happen. Other question? Ah, there is, yes, still 1 minute and a half. And after, we can meet outside. If someone of you want to run tests about the midterm election.
Please,
first,
keep
prodding
us on that. I appreciate your, do it. That's great.
I will help also if you can really be independent. Please.
Sure. I just wanted to kind of throw it back on you. What did you really want to do with this project that you were frustrated that you were not able to do? Like, what more would you like to do?
Good point. That is quite important. No? Tracking exposed. This is a... No. Okay, because this is a browser I don't normally use. It's the one that I use. It's because I'm going to point here at the manifesto. Oh, can it work? HTTPS tracking exposed. Okay. So this is the manifesto, and off. And answer in a more edulcorate way what is our goal. What I personally want to do, the intelligence should be at the border of the network. That's all, and not at the center. Zero. So, thank you.